By his word, God created all things. Get ready to be recreated and repositioned for greatness as you listen to this inspiring message. Open your spirit and let the word of God give you light and fresh inspiration.
Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts as we approach the perfect law of liberty. In the name of Jesus, I seize this moment and I ask that Jesus be glorified. In the name of Jesus, send forth the rod of your power as your word goes forth in the name of Jesus. Rule in the midst of your people by the reason of the authority of your word in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the ministry of angels in this place. The Bible says they hearken at the voice of your command. Lord, I ask that your word will create, your word will repair, your word will direct, your word will establish, your word will comfort, your word will heal, your word will give hope to somebody here today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you anoint me and cause me to speak as your oracles, even as your name is glorified. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Loom large and brood over this assembly. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 24. And after that, we'll go to Luke 15 and Luke 16. Praise God. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I gave thought to what I was looking at. I looked on it and I received instruction. And this is what I came up with. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. A wise man. He was still able to learn from this experience. What I'm talking about today, I've called it be intentional. Tell your neighbor, be intentional. Be intentional. Luke chapter 15. He said, I went by the field of a man devoid of understanding. Luke chapter 15. Verse 16. This is the story of the prodigal son. You know the story. Left home, collected all the money, spent his money on prodigal living, carried prostitutes. That's not in the Bible, but I can assume that. And just wasted all his money. And he went to work for a man that told him to feed his pigs. And he was hungry, but nobody gave him anything. Verse 16 says, and he will gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And here am I perishing with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, his rehearsed speech, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and let us be merry. Luke chapter 16, the next chapter. Just flip a page forward. If you're looking at the screen, you don't have to flip, but I wish you were looking at your Bible. Luke 16, verse 1. He also said to his disciples, this is Jesus, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him, that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. So he called every one of his master's debtor to him, and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill, sit down, quickly, and write 50. And he said to another, And how much do you owe? And so he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I said to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting homes. That when it fails, because money does fail. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Be intentional. Now, we often unconsciously slink or slide into this mode. Whatever will be, will be. Let's come to a point. Whatever will be, will be. You've heard people say that if God wants me to have it, God will give it to me. God will do whatever God wants to do in my life. We surrender to life and expect things to just sort themselves out. We resign to fate and just expect a miracle of perfection. We put the car in neutral. That's the word I'm looking for. We just put the car in neutral and let things just roll. But it is not always so. You look through the Bible, and I believe that the Bible has given us a way to respond to certain events of life, or the events of life will feel a need to surrender to. I checked yesterday and I saw that in the Bible, there are 31 take heed in the Bible. Take heed. My wife was telling me that 31, perhaps it's for 31 days of the month. Take heed. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to your flock. To take heed means to pay attention, to be in charge, to be circumspect, to think about something, to give attention to something. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, according to the grace of God that has been given to me as a wise master builder, he said, I have laid the foundation and every man builds on it. Then he said, let every man take heed how he builds. Let every man be careful. Let him think through how he builds and not just build anyhow. Because he later said, because every man's work shall be tested by fire. Now, we are a generation of Christians who equate wishful thinking with faith. It's wishful thinking, but we call it faith. And it has been said that if wishes were horses, even beggars will ride them. Beggars will ride them. We expect miracles, but many a times what we are really expecting is magic. Just expect God to perform magic. Because the principles of miracles are different from the principles of magic. We use our prophecies to excuse laziness. Because the man of God has said, by this time next year, oh, you shall have this, oh, you shall have that. And I believe in those things. But there are certain things you do to cooperate with the fulfillment of prophecies. And so we have taken laziness and covered it with spirituality. We spiritualize a number of things. You remember I told you, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, Moses went to God and said, God, Pharaoh, and God said, what is in your hands? Because the time to obey is not the time to pray. The time to act is not the time to pray. If you know the will of God, then do it. Whatever he says to you, the Bible says, do it. Do it. And so people will look for the spectacular and we ignore the practical. We ignore the practical. We look for the spectacular. In life, you must understand that nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. If you see something working somewhere, it is because somewhere, someone is working it. If you see something working somewhere, it is because somewhere, someone is working it. Because nothing just happens. You go to an organization and everything is running so well. Somebody is staying awake at night. Something or someone somewhere is working it, because nothing just works. So we can't just live our life to just work by itself, or like we say in Twitter parlance, to just be turning on your own. You must get involved and do something about it. If you want your life to go in a particular way, then you must be intentional about your life. You must be deliberate about your life. I want us to come to the place where we all say to ourselves that if it has to be, then it is up to me. If it has to be, then it is up to me. If it has to be, it is up to me. A place where you actively decide the outcomes of your life, the outcomes that you want in life. The place of living intentionally, of living purposefully, and living for a purpose. Living for a purpose. Now, to be intentional is to do something on purpose or to be deliberate about something. To be deliberate about something. To be deliberate. A man called Richie Norton said that intentional living is the art of making our own choices, or else other people's choices will make us, or before other people's choices make us. They've said if you don't engage yourself, somebody will engage you. And so you must understand that if you don't make the right choices, other people's choices will make you. The Bible says, with an angry man, do not go, lest you learn his ways. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. And so it is important that you take the reins of your life and say, this is the kind of outcome I want in life, and begin to make the right investments in those outcomes. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, King Solomon told us about a man. He said, I went by the field. I'm sure maybe he was taking an evening stroll. And he saw this man's house and his field. And the Bible says he was a lazy man. And he was a man devoid of understanding. He must have thought that, you know, if I have a garden, it will tend itself. If I have a garden, it will grow. The flowers will blossom and bloom, and there will be beautiful colors. And the Bible says that, no, that's not what happened. That the field was overgrown with weeds. That the fence was breaking down. Things were falling apart around him because he did nothing actively about it. The law of entropy in physics, basically, in simple terms, I don't even understand all of it, but entropy basically says that every system left to itself will ultimately destroy, will self-destruct. If you don't do anything to improve it, it will eventually self-destruct. If you don't do anything to improve your body, it will definitely self-destruct. If you don't do anything to improve your car, everything left to itself without servicing, without any form of improvement, will self-destruct. And so that man was rudely shocked that what he thought was going to work out by itself did not work out by itself. You can imagine giving birth to a child and never giving that child a word of instruction, a word of correction. You never spank that child, never direct that child, and just expect that child, because that child came from God, that child will follow God. You'll be shocked. You'll have a monster in your house. Because any system left to itself will self-destruct. So the man was shocked. So the field shows us the result of anything at all left to itself. A marriage, a career, a business, your spiritual gifts, your natural talents, your ministry, your children. Everything you leave to itself will be overgrown with weeds, and it will eventually break down. Now, our daily habits and choices and decisions and actions ultimately determine the outcomes and the outlook of our lives. The decisions you make on a daily basis, your choices, your habits. So if you want to live intentionally, every day matters. If you want to live intentionally, every day matters, because each day is a part of a week. Every day is a part of a week. Every week is a part of a month. Every month is a part of a year. And every year is a part of your life. And so to live intentionally, you must pay attention. Take heed to every day. Must take heed to every day. So to live intentionally, you must begin to pay attention to the events and the happenings around you, the things that you permit or the things that you sit on top and take care of. Now, the increasing laziness in our generation, we are lazier than our parents' generation. How many of you agree? Even if you don't agree, it's the truth. The increasing laziness in our generation, the carelessness, and then the incomplete stories of successes that we hear. You know, we just hear stories of success. Now, you can go on Google right now, 10 most successful people in the world. Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey. And then there'll be five, maybe like one paragraph about that. Nigerians will even say, I don't need school. Bill Gates dropped out of school. You'll be shocked. You will be rudely shocked. First of all, the kind of school he dropped out from is not the kind of school we have here. So if you drop out from University of Zungeru, you'll be shocked. And then we don't even hear the other things about their lives. If you read this book, The Outliers, you will see how from his primary school, they put a computer in their school. So from that age, he started programming. And so there are other investments. So we read all of these things, and we just believe success will just fall on your lap by just waving a magic wand. Or we look at Joseph. We see Pharaoh is coronating him as the second in command in Egypt. And I say, see God. God do in my life what you did in Joseph. One day prisoner, next day prime minister. God do it. Oh, you don't know all the story. You've not heard all the stories. And so some of these things just make us to live our lives carelessly and expect magic instead of miracles. On the other hand, technology also distracts us from being aware that things are falling apart around us. You know, when you have your phone in your hands and you can go on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter, and Facebook, you forget your sorrows. You forget that you've not been paid. You forget that you've been at the same level for some time, because they also are designed to just make your mind go away from your troubles in life. You know, the word amuse, you may have heard me say, if you check old Latin, when you have a word in Latin like theism, is about God. When you have atheism, it means no God. Gnostic, knowledge. Gnostic, not about knowledge and information and all of that. So when you have muse, means to think. When you have amuse, it means don't think. So amusement just basically occupies us and stops us from processing with our mind and begin to look at the events of our lives. So you see amusement on our phone, TV, you know, all this series, Game of Thrones or Throne of Games, whatever it's called, and all of that. And we just get into amusement and we really never sit. And my wife knows, my children, when I watch a movie, for me, I always say, I don't enjoy the movie. I say, who has the brain that wrote this? That is what I want. I want to say, who's creating this? Like when I watch Lion King, the new Lion King and all of that, I had to go and watch the making to realize that everything in that movie was created. The lions are not real. The grasses are not real. The sky is not real. Somebody used CGI graphics. That is what trips me. I want to be in that place where I'm the one creating things. Because amusement is stopping us from processing and actually sitting down and realizing that, no, my life has been on pause for a while. No, things are falling apart in my marriage. No, my business is not the way it should be. No, I'm not doing well in my academics, because they occupy my mind. Statistics have shown that an average person uses 2.5 hours every day on social media. 2.5 hours. That is like 60, 60, 120 plus 30, about 150 minutes every day. I have one little picture up there if they can show it. That graphics, the statistic. Now, you may not see very well. So, earlier in this article, they said that 2.5 hours a day. But if you check, it says in a man's lifetime. And what they did, these statistics, is that they said, assuming you are going to live 72 years, and assuming you started using social media from the age of 10, you are going to spend 6 years and 8 months on social media. The total of the time you spend on social media. 6 years, 8 months. You can get a PhD. You can get a BSc. You can get an HND. You can get some certification. You can imagine, you can take it off. You can imagine using 2.5 hours every day to write a book. You can imagine using 2.5 hours every day to read a book. You can imagine using 2.5 hours every day to work on your business proposal or in fine-tuning your business. You can imagine using 2.5 hours every day spending time with your children. You can imagine what 2.5 hours of every day can do for you. But we squander it in front of the phone and in front of the television. I'm also guilty. I'm not preaching at you, by the way. I'm talking to all of us. Because that statistic said that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Now, Matthew Henry said, I've had this quote several years ago because I'm an anthologist. An anthologist collects quotes. And it says that, let me put it there, that Matthew Henry's quote. It says, a man cannot, let me see, how did he say it now? A man may ruin himself through carelessness. A man may ruin his life through carelessness, but he cannot recover himself except by great circumspection. You must be careful. If you ruin something to build it back, it will take circumspection, paying attention. It will take work. It will take you giving yourself to it to build yourself back. He said it will take great care and circumspection for him to build himself back. So it is really in your hand. It's easy to destroy things, but to build it back takes a lot of work. It takes being deliberate to get your life back on track. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3, I think it says that the foolishness of a man twists his ways, but his heart blames the Lord. I also like what Albert Einstein said, also a very popular quote. He says, the problem we face today cannot be solved on the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. The problems we face today cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were when we created them. So, in other words, simply put, if you run into a trouble or problem and things aren't working out, If you want to solve that problem, you have to go higher. You have to read more. You have to get exposed, go for a training, talk to an expert. But you can't be at that same level to be able to solve it. Or to put it like this, there are certain problems you had in primary three, arithmetic. They looked insurmountable. They look very difficult. But you know what? The moment you move to primary five, a higher level of thinking, when you look at those problems, they look like child's play. Why? Because the level at which you solve a problem, you can't solve it at that same level. You need to go higher. So you're dealing with anything right now, begin to say, what's the higher information, higher knowledge? What's the higher spiritual investment I need to make to solve this issue that I'm dealing with? Are you following me so far? Okay, so I've come to challenge you. And if you want your life to be better than it is, you must be intentional. You must be intentional in planning it, intentional in praying it. You must be intentional in working it. You must be intentional in working it. You don't want to be a participator in your life. Just be letting life happen to you and you are just watching it. It's like, I don't know. How is life? It's well, this country. We are just watching. Yoruba will say, aye, ye lo, anto. The world is turning and we are just following it. You don't want to live your life like that. So you want to say to yourself, how will I want my life to look in the next 5 years? How will I want my life to look in the next 10 years? And then what am I going to do? What investments am I going to make? What adjustments am I going to make to have a better life? Because hoping for improvements will not just bring improvements. No, it won't bring improvements. You must move from desiring to doing and from wanting to working. You must move from desiring to doing and from wanting things to begin to work things. For some of you, just means go and get a job. That's where you'll start from. Some of you say, well, nobody's employing me. Go and volunteer your services somewhere. It's not something we do in Nigeria, but it's an amazing thing because it will shock you what you will learn. It will shock you what you'll be exposed to. It will shock you what you will grab in that organization. And I'm sure most of the time, if you are diligent and consistent, they help you with transport. And sometimes they may eventually take you on. But to just sit at home and expect, you know, we prophesy, between now and tomorrow, somebody will get a phone call. And you are lying on your bed and expect, it doesn't always happen like that. I believe in 24-hour miracles. I believe God does. I've experienced miracles in my life. But I also know that miracles are not magic. Or else everybody on the streets will have miracles. Do you understand me? And so you must understand. In the book of Joshua, I think chapter 7, the children of Joshua had given out the inheritance. Moses, of course, had died. And he had shared out the inheritance for the children of Israel. All the 12 tribes. And then one day, the tribe of Joseph came to him. And they said, we are a great tribe. And the inheritance you gave us is too small for us. He said, we are supposed to be better than this. We are big boys. We deserve more. I like Joshua. He didn't argue with them. He said, truly, you are a great people. And you deserve more. He said, you see those wooded areas? Where those trees and forests are? Take axes. Go and cut area. Go and create space for yourself. Because the days of handouts are over. And let me just digress a little. And that is one of the reasons I believe God took Moses away. Because Moses was not the kind of leader. Moses' leadership style wouldn't have taken the people to a place of possessing the land. Because if they came to Moses, we are hungry, went to God, give them food. Food will fall from heaven. Moses, we don't have water. Rock, bring water. Everything Moses, and these people were to be trained to go and possess land from Canaanites, from giants. And so God took him out and brought a Joshua, military. We want go and work for it. Go and work for it. We need more. Go and get it. Train them to be able to take the land. Because that time comes in your life. Maturity. You come to a place of maturity and take the reins of your life. What do you want to be in the next 5 years? Whoever that person is, be intentional about it. John Maxwell said that nobody finishes well by accident. Nobody finishes well by accident. Must take some thought. So be intentional about your life. In order to come into alignment with destiny, be intentional with your life in order to come into alignment with what God has proposed for you. Because if not, you'll be derailed. You say it's the plan of God, but you won't be able to achieve it. Paul says that I try my best to lay hold of that reason for which Christ has laid hold of me. So it is important you understand that in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the scripture we quote so well, it said that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do everything that is written therein. It says, for then you will have good success and you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. So take charge of your life. Tell your neighbor, be intentional. Be intentional. A good, meaningful, purposeful spiritual life, a good, meaningful, purposeful marriage, ministry, business, or income is a product of intentionality. It is a function of choice, a choice to have a better outcome in life. And the kind of life you choose will eventually choose you. So what is your choice? Have you made a choice for peace, a choice for progress, a choice for prosperity, a choice to have a better life, to have a better marriage? When you make that choice, then you begin to take the right steps to fulfill or to walk towards the choice that you have made. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we're going to look at simple ways to be intentional about life. And we'll look at the young man we just read about a while ago, the prodigal son. The prodigal son. So we're looking at his life. Now, this was a man that had ruined his life. So his life just paints the picture of what Matthew Henry said. He said, a man may ruin his life through carelessness, but he cannot recover except by great care and circumspection. And so this man had ruined his life, collected all his money, went on a riotous living, and he found himself in the place that we found him. He was about to eat pig's food. And so the first thing he did, the Bible says that he came to himself. He came to himself. The first thing you must do if you want to recover your life or to be intentional about life is that you must come to yourself. You must come to a place where you begin to appraise things around you. The place of circumspection, the place that you take heed, the place that you sit and say, is this me? See my age. This is what I should have done. I promised myself this 10 years ago. I did nothing about it. The guy began to think. Sometimes the place of isolation, and that's why I encourage you, sometimes go for a retreat at the end of the year. Go to a place, move away from all the busyness around you and come to a place where you can think. The prodigal son, of course, calamity pushed him to that place. And unfortunately for many people, it's trouble that gets them to that place where they begin to think. But if you want to be deliberate or be intentional about your life, the first thing you must do is to come back and think. Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true. That you introspect and you begin to make certain adjustments about your life. So that was the first thing that he did. The second thing he did was he said, How many of my father's servants have food to eat, and here I am perishing. The second thing he did was he cast a vision. He took his mind back home, and he had a vision of a preferred tomorrow. There is better than here. You must be able to see a picture of a better tomorrow, better than where you are right now. You must be able to see a there that is better than a here. Do you understand that? You must be able to see a there that is better. So the guy sat there and he said, over there, evil servants, they have food to eat, and here am I perishing with hunger. So you must have a picture for tomorrow and a preferred picture of a tomorrow. So maybe it is in 5 years' time, I want to have a PhD. In 5 years' time, I want to be here. I want to do that. I want to do this. Now, of course, God ultimately makes those things happen. But you know what? God can't work without your plans. The Bible says the heart of a man plans his ways, but the tongue of the Lord gives direction, or something like that. But the heart of man must plan his ways. Another scripture in Proverbs says that it is in vain that the horse is prepared for the day of battle. So the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So there must be preparation. We must have a picture of a preferred tomorrow. The next thing that happened to that guy, and I will jump. Of course, the next thing he said is that I will arise and da-da-da-da-da. But the first thing that I want you to see before I go to that, he said, I have sinned. I have sinned. If you must be intentional about your life, don't blame anybody for where you are. Blaming people is a game of fools. It's lazy people that blame people. It's people who can't take responsibility for their lives, for what they have done. He said, I will go to daddy and I say, I have sinned against you, and against God and before you. So he took responsibility. So you must take responsibility for where you are and tell yourself the truth. I was careless in my spending. I did not do right. I did not pay attention while I was being taught. I made a bad investment. I made a wrong choice. I am the one. Not my wife. Not my friend. Not my husband. Not my pastor. People are even blaming pastors today. We must all come to a place where you take responsibility for yourself. He said, I have sinned. I messed up royally. It's not my uncle. Yes, I know he didn't pay for your school fees, but that was 15 years ago. What's happening now? What's happening now? What can you do about tomorrow? So he said, I have sinned. So take responsibility. The fourth thing he did, he said, he began to put a plan in place. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I will arise and I will go and I will say. I will arise and I will go and I will say. He was writing it down. I believe he didn't have a pen, so he was writing on his hand and saying, I will arise and I will go and I will say. So you must have a plan. Actionable steps, things that you will do. I'll go and collect the form. I'll make a call and make inquiries. I'll go and meet that person. I will arise and I will go. I will go and register the business. I will arise and I will go. I will begin to read my Bible every morning. I will go to a Bible school, for example, if that's what you want. I will arise and I will go. By so time, I will do this. So you draw up a plan with actionable steps. Whatever he wrote there were things he could do. I will arise and I will go. So, and what I'm saying right now, things you can actually go do. So get a notebook, a jotter, and write some of these things down. And write some of these things down. ILCC was first on paper before it became a reality. I don't know, but that's just how God works. He said to Habakkuk, he said, write the vision down on tablets and make it plain so that he who sees it will run with it. So there's something about God and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. We have the Bible today because some people were not like us. They chose to write. They wrote. Write it down. And as we see it, faith keeps building up in us. So write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Another thing that he did that is very important, when he said, I will arise and I will go to my father, he said, I will say to him, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Take me as one of your hired servants. What? This was a son, but he was ready to degrade himself, downgrade himself, whatever, step down and be a servant in his father's house. You know, for many people who have missed it in life and made a mistake and come to the place of an error in life, one of the greatest challenges they have is stepping down and going a step lower than where they are. You know, so I had a friend then that things weren't going on well for them, but they must still take, in those days there were no Ubers, they must still take charter taxis. And they are visiting and there's a charter taxi outside running in the hours, because truly where that person was coming from, that's where they are. But things have changed. Things have changed. So you see the person, they are borrowing money to even pay taxi, borrowing money for this, borrowing money for that. The boy said, I'm ready to start small. I'm not going to say, well, I used to be the MD of a Jaguda Company International. No, I'm ready to start small. I'm ready to start small. And so I'm talking about somebody who's made a bad mistake and things are on pause. Tell yourself, I'll start small. Yes, I know you used to earn ₦1 million a month or 1.5. You can start with 250. You won't die. You won't die. There are people who earn ₦50,000 a month and have 5 children. I don't know how they do it. That's when you know that God is a miracle worker. Do you understand? So he said to himself, I will go and say, I am not worthy to be called your son. Every man here, especially if you are married, you should find a way to go and get the message I did in 2016 called Manova. It was in the men, manpower series for men. Because it is men that get stuck up. It's men that hit a rogue wave, get to a bad place in life, and find it hard to turn around. And many of us can testify because our dads, they just hit a bad spot in life. And to recover, it was just mommy took over responsibilities. Because for men, it becomes very difficult. A woman will not mind. She'll go and sell. She'll sell pepper, sell sweet, sell whatever. Collect something from somebody who traveled to go and peddle it in her boot, whatever. But a man, how can he sell shoes in the boot of his car? Still driving that car, but he's borrowing money to put fuel in it. He can't take Uber. He can't use the car for taxi. How will people know that me, I'm doing taxi?
And he's not supporting anybody. So go and learn how to maneuver. Go and get that tip. I'm telling you, even if you are not there now, take it. Because, in fact, let me jump ahead of myself. You look at that man, the steward that was going to lose his job. It's because he was a man. Did he say the things he said? I'm too ashamed to beg. How can I go to OK? Was he not my staff before? Even though he's now the head of, I can't go to OK. OK is now a federal minister in the country. I don't have a job. But because he once was under me, I'm too ashamed to beg. I can't dig. Me, accountant. I used to be an accountant. I now come and dig. And that's what led him to do the wrong things he did. So it is important. And lastly, which is very obvious, he acted on his plan. When you plan your work, work your plan. He acted on it. He actually arose. Everything he said he will do, he began to do it. So if you want to be intentional, you want to sit down and think about your life, you want to have a vision of a preferred future, you want to admit to yourself that where you are is solely your responsibility, not because your boss fired you. Solely your responsibility. Number four, have actionable steps, plans. Number four, have plans that are workable. Number five, be ready to start small. And number six, begin to act on that which you have planned. And of course, this boy took these steps and his life was totally recovered. I believe better than he had before. Even the fatted calf was given to him. The father even gave him a signet ring, which means the authority of the father. Because, see, we pray for restoration, but we walk towards it. And this is what happened in this guy's life, restoration. He walked it. And of course, restoration is always better than what we have before. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, areas of our lives that I think we should be intentional about. Perhaps there are more. Areas of our lives that we should be intentional about. Number one, your relationship with God. Should be intentional about it. Spirituality doesn't come by osmosis. Just be in church and you're just being spiritual. As pastor is preaching, you listen to Christian music and you just know how to pray and you just become very spiritual and the devil is afraid of you. No, you walk your spirituality. You walk your spirituality. Paul said, I press. This book shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Jesus Christ arose early and as was his custom, went to a deserted place and prayed. His custom to be in the synagogue. He walked it. He prayed it. He studied it. He went to collect the scrolls and read. And so you must, first of all, because that becomes the foundation for every other thing. Your spirit. The Bible says a man's spirit will sustain him in infirmity. There are certain sicknesses that if the spirit is strong, it will push them out. You won't even know the sickness came. Because the spirit is too strong to accommodate them. So your personal life is the first area of your life. Sorry, your spiritual life, your walk with God is the first area of your life that you want to pay attention to. It comes by studying. Say to yourself, every week I'll listen to one edifying message. Listen to a message. I'll read my Bible every day. I'll do my devotions. I'll be in the lighthouse. I'll come for prayers. That's how you build yourself. And a day is going to come. All you'll have to depend on is what's happening in your spirit. There have been people who couldn't pray again. They are on the verge of death. But somewhere their spirit couldn't just resist it. They were fighting the devil in their spirit, hanging on to life, rebuking the forces of darkness in their spirit, man. Because the spirit is strong. A man's spirit will sustain him in infirmity. Number two, your health. The area of your health. Your health, 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 health. Most of what we are dealing with in our health could just have been taken care of if we just stayed off starch, sugar, and salt. Dr. Shea, somewhat. At least if you really cut them down. For older ones like us. So you find out that what you eat or what we eat is killing us. What we eat is killing us. And so the Bible says, put a knife to your throat. Watch it. We had a poem when I was in a nursery school. It said, be content with simple diet. All this shaki and brokoto and roundabout and all of those things. Some of those things are killing us. And so you want to watch what you eat. You want to be sure that you are not putting junk in your body. You want to go for your medical tests. You want to make sure that you make your health paramount. You want to do exercise. Exercise for you to be in health. Exercise. Okay, so I said those things about food and all of that. Maybe for my age, and I know for many people, you want to reduce, like I said, because when you have blood pressure, salt is one of the things they point out too. And so you may not know, but there was a time I went for my medical checkup, and my BP was quite high. My blood sugar was bordering on diabetes. They already called it type 2 diabetes. And you know what? The only adjustment I made, of course I was praying, was my diet. And you know what? I did another medical test in August, September, thereabout. And everything is gone. In fact, my younger brother is a medical doctor in the UK. I sent the result to him. He said, oh boy, I want to have your kind of result. And then I dropped my weight. Another thing, work on your weight. That's another thing. And it is here. It's not by prayer and fasting it can go to. So it's largely here. And I dropped from like 84, 85 to like 77. It was deliberate. Now, of course, having traveled again, I'm around 79 something now. But I want to come to like 78, 77. It just keeps you fit. Take walks in the morning. It is important because God can't do much with your body when it is in the coffin or in the hospital bed. About 4 years ago, my cholesterol was also very high. And all I cut out, now you can't cut everything out, but there will be some culprits that you can work on. Some you can't control. But you know what? I've been eating egg white. I've stopped eating yolk for like 4 or 5 years. It's not an easy life. Oh. You eat some food, you'll be angry with yourself. God, what have I done to you? But you know what? My last test, the cholesterol was fine. Because sometimes it is just what we eat. Now, don't take my word for it. Meet a dietitian or a doctor and let them tell you what you need to. But take your health. Be intentional about it. Be intentional. So we are praying, don't die on. Let people not die on. But we eat anyhow. That's what I'm saying. It's magic we are looking for, not miracle. Praise the name of the Lord. So it takes discipline. Cut out salt in my food. I like rice. I can eat rice, like wake up, sleep anytime. But I've had to reduce it. So now I just do a father rice. Be cracking stone somewhere. Crap, but it's still, but then it's giving me health. So it is important. Pay attention to your health. Number three, personal, your marriage. Let me do marriage. Your marriage. Number three, pay attention to your marriage. Especially if you are married. Even if you are not married, begin to read books. I had a notebook then that I wrote the kind of wife I wanted and the kind of husband I will be. It was written in a book. Be deliberate. Be deliberate about certain things. Don't let life just happen to you. The woman has now come and the man has now come. You're like, God, is this what I... But you were not specific. You were not deliberate about what you wanted. You know, so it is important that you look at your marriage and you say, you know what? I always say this and I tell my wife that I'm not going to leave the joy or the peace in my marriage in the hands of my wife. It's too much a responsibility for her. What about me? I'm the man. So I said the joy, the peace. That's why I told you 2 weeks ago that when we had that issue and it's been going on for like back to back every week. We are fine, but any little thing just escalates. I was the one who called for the knee to knee. I said, come, we need to talk. Because I realized it depended on me. So be deliberate. A happy marriage is not magic. It answers to certain sets of principles. So forgiveness, love, the glory of a man it is to overlook an offense. That you put those things in practice. You want to get married, I beg you, go for the marriage preparatory class. It is important. It is important. It is important. Some people think it's a hurdle they have to cross before they get married. No, don't look at it like that. It is information you need for your survival in marriage. You say, who counseled Adam and Eve to do marriage? Well, are you Adam? Are you Eve? Because the things we are dealing with, I'm telling you, as pastors, we sit and it will shock you what's happening in many homes, in many marriages. And the lawyer on our board, sometimes she comes to our house and she will tell us divorce cases almost every day in the court. So make investments. And if you are married, I Permit me to introduce to you the Rock Solid Couples Care. It's a good class to go to, amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, we have the class captain of the last set here, amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Amazing class. Turn your life around. So be deliberate about your marriage. Your personal development, number four. Your personal development. Your personal development. Read something. Go back to school if you need to. Tell yourself, I'll read 5 pages a day, 3 pages a day. I will read a book in 2 months. If you can't do a month, I will read something. I will improve on myself. As I'm going to work, if I have a car, I'll listen to something edifying. How to sell, how to market, how to be a good communicator. Just something. How cars are made, how to fly a plane, whatever. Just find something and keep feeding your mind, because the brain is like muscles. So if you don't exercise it, it will become weak. So find ways to improve yourself. You need to go back to school. Do that. You need to read something edifying, encouraging, informative every day. Make a decision to do that. You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. Most of the people we listen to now, who pack crowds, who pack stadiums, sorry, who pack halls for meetings, and they are doing trainings and all of that. That's how they got to where they are. They must have spent time. Some of the things they are teaching you is because they could read it on Google and you can't. And you pay them 35,000 naira for it. Do you understand that? Okay. Second to the last one. Your appearance. Your looks. Don't be in 21st century and look like 18th century. Pay attention to how you look, how you dress. We like to say in Nigeria that you will be addressed the way you are dressed. So it is important. Pay attention to your looks. Dress well. Look good. You are the king's kid. You belong to God. The Bible calls us the bride of Christ. The Bible calls us the bride of Christ. Have you seen brides on their wedding days? I always remember Esther. I was thinking about her as I prepare. I still think she's the prettiest bride I've seen in this church. Of course, that is my own position. Every husband thinks their bride is the finest, but she was looking amazing. And she had these eyelashes that was like, bloop, 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 bloop. I remember. Have you seen brides? We are the bride of Christ. Take care of yourself. Invest in how you look. Smell well or smell nice. Use deodorant. Deodorant is not demonic. It is when you open your hands without deodorant. That is what is demonic. Because when you open your hand, people fall under the anointing. People fall under the anointing. When you open your mouth, I remember two guys were fighting. And they were fighting and one's that Arsenal is better than Man U. Arsenal is better. Even though Arsenal was at the bottom of the league, the guy said, I agree. Because the man says, Arsenal is better than Man U. The guy couldn't continue the conversation. Or one, they were fighting and somebody said, stop fighting. Stop. He came to separate them. And two of them said, oh God, we stop this fight because you talk. Now because you talk, we stop. Oh. He thought it was because he spoke, but it was because he opened his mouth at all. What came out made them to break the fight. Now because you talk, I stop fighting. No. That is what is demonic. So dress well. Pay attention to your look. Wear things, if you can afford it, spend your money on yourself. Be intentional. Let somebody look at you and talk to you with dignity. Jesus Christ says, look at the flowers. See how God clothes them. He said, and they are here today and they'll be gone tomorrow. And God took time, intricate designs, beautiful colors, and we don't even see it. If you're privileged to go abroad, you'll see all kinds of colors that God has created. Beautiful. Beautiful. And you say, well, don't dress. There's no need to spend money on dress, just your body. No. At least we saw somewhere in the Bible that people wore rich clothes to church. Have you seen that in the Bible? James chapter 2, verse 2. James said that if a rich man comes to your church dressed in fine apparel with gold and with ring and all of that, he said, don't give him a special place. So he was saying that there are people who dress well in the church, who wore expensive things. He just said, don't respect them because of that. So it is okay to spend on yourself, to look good, to dress well, to smell nice, to use roll-on, to shave, to be properly groomed. It is important. And you know what? You may say, I can't afford a perfume and all of that, and I can't afford roll-on. You can get alum. Now when they used to clean snails, When you just put it there, it just sucks everything out. Nothing will come out again. But I'm just saying, on a more serious note, pay attention to that. And lastly, pay attention to your financial life. Financial discipline is one thing that shows your level of irresponsibility. Financial indiscipline is one quick, one quick betrayal of your sense of indiscipline financially, of your recklessness or irresponsibility. You now begin to say, somebody comes and say, Pastor, there's an emergency. My wife is trying to give birth and I don't have money. The hospital, 9 months of pregnancy, I'm not going to give you anything. If it was surgery that you didn't plan for, I can look at you a little. But your wife was pregnant for 9 months and you were not thinking to be saving something. You know when she's going for antenatal, the amount that they collect there. You didn't do anything. You now come. I like to say to people, your lack of preparation won't put you under pressure. You won't come and meet me and I know you should have prepared. And you want me to be, Pastor, it's very urgent. No. I always tell myself, the problem was there before you met me. It will continue after you meet me. So you learn to save money. You learn to invest. You learn to plan. You learn to put something aside. You be committed to your financial future. Don't leave your financial future to just prayers. Like I've told you before, prayer doesn't create prosperity. It can protect it. It can preserve it. Can even help you to multiply it. But it doesn't create it. And by the way, financial prosperity is not a gift of the Spirit. Well, some believers won't have money. It's the gift of God to any man who will walk the principles of finances. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not a spiritual gift. So you must understand that. It takes the grace of God. It takes the mercy of God. So you want to be committed in that area. It's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. Can I have my little video? So you also want to plan. I started saying that your financial future, your retirement, you won't always be young. Your children will soon go to higher institution. They'll soon be in secondary school. There'll soon be more financial need in your house. Perhaps as you grow older, your parents may die. Responsibility may shift on you. What are you doing about your financial tomorrow? There's this advert I like on TV. It's not for any spiritual value. Just if they can share. I just really
You're
like
welcome, my future in law.
Thank you, sir.
We have seen what you brought. Are the assorted drinks complete?
Yes, it's complete.
What about the Hollandaise? Are they complete?
Yes, it's complete. Confirmed. Ezibogo.
And now for the most important item. Your retire well pension account number. Listen! You think I will allow you to toy with the future of my daughter and the children? This union can hold.
Making a move to secure your future is the perfect game plan.
I think you should just stop it there. I think it's for Stanbic Bank, Stanbic Pension or something. But did you see that? That's a right thinking father-in-law. I will do the same for my daughter. No, but it's true. I'm not saying you should have millions or billions. But I want to see that you are planning, you are thinking tomorrow. You are putting something aside. You have some people, they've been working for 5 years. How much do you have in savings? Pastor, blah, blah, blah. No. At least let me hear 80,000, 70,000. Let me hear 100,000. If you've been working, even if your salary is 50,000, after 5 years, you should be able to have like maybe 25, 30,000, 50,000. Some people don't have anything. Jesus Christ said, did you see what that unjust steward did? The Bible says he was commended. Jesus said he was commended, not for what he did, but for his wisdom, for his thinking of tomorrow. He said, if I lose my job, if I no longer have the opportunity to work, how am I going to survive? And so the guy began to plan his after-work life. That's what the guy was doing. He was planning his after-work life. How many of us are planning our after-work life? You must be intentional about it. Be putting something aside. Put it in an investment. Let just look away from it. And while you are working, it is also working. Jesus Christ is a wise man. He said, unfortunately, unbelievers think more like that than the sons of light. And the sons of light. I shall round up. The most important place you want to be intentional about is your eternal destiny. It is very important that you must be intentional about. Nobody will get to heaven by mistake. Everybody who gets to heaven must be intentional about it. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I have finished my race. He said, I have kept the faith. He said, now it's laid up for me. He was sure. He was persuaded. He said, having done these things, I am sure that there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord of glory shall give to me. He said, and not just me alone. He said, but for all who love his appearing. Who are those who love his appearing? Those who know that he is coming and they are making preparations to receive him at his coming. Nobody will get to heaven. Nobody will stroll into heaven. Everybody who gets there will plan for it. So if that man was planning for his afterlife, after work life, how much more you plan about your after this life, life? Because spirits don't die. Spirits just change location. And so when this body dies, the spirit keeps living. But it may be with God or with the devil. And so it's a decision you have to make. The man said, and then Jesus Christ in that place says, make friends with yourself with unrighteous men that they may receive you into everlasting homes. Even Jesus started talking about everlasting homes. Not talking about place here on earth. He's talking about the place hereafter. Let's quickly bow our heads.
Thank you for listening. Sure you've been inspired to be different. You can get more messages by Pastor Wale Afelumo at number 67 Oluwumi AO Crescent, Kado Estate, Abuja. Worship with us this Sunday at Inspiration Life Community Church, Main Auditorium, Math Conference Center and Suite, near Next Doors, Jahi, Abuja. For more inquiries, please call 090-80-00-00-00.